underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Anita Shreve is the New York Times bestselling author of The Weight of Water and The Pilot's Wife. Her latest, The Stars Are Fire, is the suspenseful story about an extraordinary young woman tested by a catastrophic event and its aftermath. The fire started during the first week of October after a summer-long drought. They broke out near Bar Harbor and soon were burning out of control, racing down the main coast. Eventually, over 200 fires raged, consuming a quarter of a million acres of forest and wiping out nine entire towns. It was 1947 and became known as the year Maine burned. The Stars Are Fire introduces us to Grace Holland and brings this devastating event to life in a story of friendship, love, and survival. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Anita Shreve to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you on the program. What brought you, knowing that you are geographically close, what brought you to this subject and particularly to the year of 1947 and that year that Maine burned?
Well, I lived in a town in Biddeford Pool that lost 151 of 156 houses during that fire. So in that area, it was a well-known story, and some people would say, oh, I remember my father, you know, he was out there on the roof with a hose trying to wet down the house to save ourselves, and I was terrified. And then it was part of the lore and legend of York County. It hit most in York County on the coast and in Bar Harbor. And about 10 years ago, I read a book by Joyce Butler called The Week That Maine Burned, which is excellent for anyone who wants to know the story in a nonfiction sort of way. And then there was one detail in that book about how the women had to go into the seat to save themselves. And I began to imagine, you know, about 3 years ago, I began to imagine a woman named Grace Holland, who has to go into the sea to save herself and her two young children, and what that would have been like in a sort of you are there moment to moment. And that's really the nugget of the book.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the disaster itself. A severe drought followed by uncontrollable wildfires that happened in 1947. And at the time, this was something that we had really never seen before, was it? It was something that was quite unusual.
Yes, I suspect fires were not that unusual, especially forest fires. But what was different about this was that so many people and so many houses were burned. The thing we have to keep in mind, in 1947, there was no early warning system for fire. You had a black Ford going through town with a bullhorn on it, if you were lucky. If you weren't lucky, it was the smell of smoke or the distant sight of fire itself. And one of the problems down in York County was that if you went south or west, you were likely to encounter the fires. If you went east, you'd go into the ocean. And if you went north, the route was very risky because there were so many fires dotting the way up Route 1. So a lot of people were trapped.
One of the things that is interesting about the novel is the actual fire actually takes place in not that many pages. It's really dealing with the aftermath of the fire. That's what the novel centers on.
Yes, because when Grace Holland and her children survived this night of the fire, and she looks up. Her entire town is burned. Everything is black. Only thing standing are the chimneys. The only clothing she owns is on her back. She has no money, no house, nowhere to go, no transportation, nothing. This is as close to nothing as you can get that she has. And she's taken in by the kindness of strangers, as many were. The Mainers themselves were very quick to mobilize to help people in these towns. They invited them into their houses. They certainly provided food for them. Churches and granges were very involved in that. And she is taken in by a family in Cape Porpoise. And then she is taken in by a friend of her mother's. And then she remembers that her husband inherited a house when his mother died shortly before the fires, and she makes her way there. And when she reaches that house, the sudden idea of her independence and is quite heady. And I think that she has to make a living. She has to support them. She has to take care of her children, take care of her mother. And she finds, you know, in solving these difficulties, that she is, you know, a greater person than she was prior to the fire.
And the thing that she realizes prior to that is that when she comes to and realizes that there are no houses standing, there are no people, and this town and this place, this small town where she lived, these people will never see each other again.
That's right. One of the things that happened during the fire and the towns is that it's a kind of displacement, because people went to live with their relatives, and those relatives might have lived in Massachusetts, or they might live in Nova Scotia or New Brunswick. I don't know what the percentage of people who came back and settled on the precise land. And anyway, Hunts Beach is fictional. But I know that the first buildings that were built to house people were aluminum boxes. And I just can't imagine they were very warm during the winter. And it would have been hard. I think people found out where their neighbors went to some extent, but it was hard. It was difficult to resettle these towns.
In the novel, when she is living with a series of strangers who are helping, the focus very much becomes that of the practical, but also just one of surviving, of just staying alive.
That's right. It's as elemental as it can get, and it's not. Not just her survival, but it's the survival of her children. And she has to also be a good mother at the same time, because her husband went to build a fire break and went off with five men, and he's the only one who did not come back. They don't know where he is. And in the meantime, she has to be all things to all people and really keep them on their feet. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge that she meets in interesting ways. And it's not without its joys as well.
You also, when you look at this, as you say, you read this and about these women that would go into the sea to save themselves and their children. And yes, this is Grace's story, but it is the story of so many women who were involved and caught up in this deadly fire.
And men, too.
And men, too, right.
Yes, definitely. In fact, there were a lot of men who had to go into the sea as well, you know, carrying their children on their shoulders, because nobody believed that the fire would go towards an absolute lack of fuel, which is the ocean, which is why a lot of the coastline was not evacuated. Forgetting that fire doesn't know it's going towards an absolute lack of fuel. And it went as close, in some cases, as close to the seawater as it could get.
Fire is something that I personally find frightening. I'm certainly not alone in that. Is it difficult to write about and to sort of to get a grip on something that moves so erratically?
Well, I tried to convey that in the book by the night of the fire, she and her best friend Rosie are out back and they're terrified and they're worried. And all of a sudden, an east wind comes along and they can feel the moisture and the cooling air and they can see that it's having an effect on the fire and pushing it back. And they feel as though they've had a reprieve. And she goes up to goes to bed and falls asleep, and her daughter wakes her up screaming. And when she looks out the window, there's just a wall of fire outside. It's very, yeah, fire is not predictable at all.
Anita Shreve is our guest. The name of the new novel is The Stars Are Fire. It is published by Knauf. You mentioned her best friend, Rosie, a moment ago. There is a point in the novel when Grace is living with friends, but she's living, and it's after the event. She receives a letter from Rosie, who has left the town. She has left Hunts Beach, and she has settled in Nova Scotia. Talk a little bit about how Grace reacts to that letter.
Well, I think she reacts in a couple of ways. One, it's sort of devastating to her because Nova Scotia is very far away. She's very happy to learn that Rosie was saved. She had two children and her husband. They have their theories about what happened to Gene, who is Grace's husband. And it also letters liberate a person. And what she could not tell Rosie in person, she's able to talk to in a letter, albeit in a kind of code. And what she wants to talk about is a man that she's met.
When you look at the fire itself and the prolonged drought and what happened, and you start to take on this story, when did you become really conscious and aware that this would be something that you could also look and where we as readers could draw parallels to the way our climate is changing now?
I really became aware of it last summer because we in the coast of Maine had a very long drought. And it got to the point where farmers were worrying about their crops and the ground was very dry. And I was thinking to myself, are we going to have another 1947 on our hands? And, you know, in Maine, people have always worried about fire. And the early warning systems, of course, are much more sophisticated. What they worry about also, which has to do with climate change, are storm surges. I think that right now is a real preoccupation for people who do live along the coast. And this includes fishermen and lobstermen as well as vacationers.
When you think of those changes, is that something that you, a message, not that that is the purpose of the novel, of course, but a message that you can convey in the storytelling as well?
I didn't. I never write with an agenda. I always start with the story comes first. I'm not an historical novelist in that I use fiction in the service of history. That's not what I do. What I'm really doing is the opposite. I'm using history in the service of fiction. So that there's a lot more about this fire and how it affected people. But when you're writing a novel, you have to shoot a straight arrow from the beginning to the end. And even though there were fascinating details that I would love to have put in, I couldn't put them in because they didn't move the story along. They didn't really have anything to do with Grace. Some of them she might not even have known about. I had to really focus on developing the characters.
The name of the novel is The Stars Are Fire. Talk a little bit about that title.
Well, it's a quote from Hamlet. It's from a letter that Hamlet is writing to Ophelia, and it's a passage that he writes. It's a love poem, and the first line is, never doubt the stars are fire. I forget what the exact, it's in the book on the opening page.
Doubt thou the stars are fire, doubt that the sun doth move, doubt truth be a liar, but never doubt I love.
When I isolated the first line, the idea of a fire being fate which, you know, the stars representing fate, it sort of began to take on an interesting metaphorical meaning, which I think is illustrated best by the cover, because in the cover you see the sparks from the fire, and yet as they go up toward the top of the page, you can imagine them as stars.
When you think of this woman and living in the 1940s, there is also the fact that she is a woman, she's very much alone, and the restrictions and the constraints of gender roles do very much play a part of the story, don't they?
Very, very, very much so. I mean, she was a woman of her time. She was married, her husband went off to work in the car. She did not have a way to get out of the neighborhood. Her whole life, in fact, is circumscribed by the neighborhood. She can only go as far as she can walk in her own 2 feet, pushing a baby carriage. Her life is really delineated by chores. And the chores are onerous, especially when, as they had a very wet spring. And, you know, this was an era of wash on the line and hand scrubbing clothes. One of the scenes in the book is a moment when her husband comes home with a Ringer washer machine, and she is overjoyed. He has not been very nice to her prior to that, and this is kind of an apology. And there's a line in the book, will a Ringer washer save a marriage? She thinks the answer a probable yes. So, you know, she and Rosie are very dependent on each other for company. And I took a lot of details from my mother. I remember the Ringer washer. I remember the wash drying, you know, bisecting the kitchen. I remember the little store that we could go down to, but we couldn't really go to a grocery store until Thursday nights when my father got home with his paycheck. My mother didn't learn to drive until she was in her 50s. So I was my parents, by the way, had a very happy marriage for 56 years. But I do remember the circumstances of her life, what she could do and what she couldn't do.
Was it fun for you to have those memories and yes. to look back?
Yes, it was great fun. It was a way of reconnecting with my mother in a way I never would have imagined, because I could see her on her knees making slipcovers and, you know, pins in her mouth. And I could see her, you know, cooking the meals. We had a standard meal for each night of the week. And just we lived in a bungalow very similar to Grace's bungalow. It was wonderful to go back and to relive that.
Tell us a little bit about, we've been focusing on Grace, of course. Tell us a little bit about the character of Jean.
Jean is a more complex character, and we know less about him. He was in the war. He came back from the war. He did what, I don't know what the percentage of men did, but they got married and they had children immediately. They came together more out of circumstance almost, and I don't think it was a grand love affair for either of them. She felt at the time that he was a gentleman, a breadwinner. He'd been in the war. He'd come back. He didn't seem to be injured in either physically or mentally, except for a scar he had on his face. And then she learns, you know, when she's into the marriage, that in the sexual aspect of the marriage, that they are not at all compatible. And their relations are such that today we would call it marital rape. But at the time, she thought that that's just the way it was. And it didn't bother her so much because she had never really... It did bother her, but it wasn't enough to make a scene over because she didn't know any better, really. She does know better later in the book, but she didn't at first.
And also his place and his acceptance really comes from his service during the war, too, doesn't it?
Yes. I think a lot of women found those men ideal because they had proved themselves.
when it came to that idea of ending the book, there were many possibilities. What situation did you ultimately want to, that made the most sense for Grace?
Well, I originally was going to end the book with her in a car, very similar to pushing a baby carriage, only she's allowed to leave the neighborhood. And then I realized, well, that's not fair. We need to know what happens after she drives away. And so I added what is an epilogue. And I wanted to show, you know, what meant most to her. I wanted to show her really complete independence and her the way in which she got it. She's not a woman who wants great material wealth at all. She's quite humble. And, you know, she's willing to go out and to try to have some fun in her life. I mean, the epilogue takes place in 1950, and a lot has happened since 1947.
When you look at what you tackle and the questions that you challenge us to consider in the novel with the character of Grace, a lot of this returns to themes that you have written about before. Mm-hmm. How ultimately do you see those themes and the importance of them for you as the person writing the novel?
Well, I don't set out with any agenda or any theme. I think certain themes develop, and this is my 18th novel, and I think that, you know, you could point to some themes that occasionally pop up in the novels. And it really started, I think, with Weight of Water, and I think there's even a line in there which says, "When you take a woman and push her to the edge, how will she behave?" And I have almost unconsciously, although later you sort of realize it, done that in a number of novels, and this one is a good example of that.
And she is a woman that stands up to the challenges. Obviously, challenges that she could have never imagined, but challenges that she does stand up to.
Yes, I ended up really liking Grace, which is a funny thing to say since I created her. But she has a quality of pluck and resilience, and she's not going to go down without a fight. She's not going to stir up any trouble. She is simply trying to make her way in the world. But I liked her a lot.
And just that such a passion for protecting her children, overseeing and protecting the children.
Yes, that's why I have a lot of scenes in the book that other people might have skipped over, other writers might have skipped over, of her actually tending to the children and how they're reacting. You know, one time when she ignores them, but has to do something else, and she comes back and they're both lying on the kitchen floor with their heads down and won't talk to her. You know, these are little moments that, you know, one of the children is very young and is, you know, very easy and loving, and the other one's beginning, you know, she's three and she's getting a little feisty. And, you know, there are a lot of scenes with the children, and I had to do that because she is a mother first and foremost, yes.
I was interested in something you just said of liking Grace, which you said is something it's interesting because you obviously created her. But I assume then, just from your answer, that sometimes there are characters that you create that you do not care for.
Oh, I do. The most fun characters are the evil ones that, you know, you can really go to town with them. They're complex in their motivations, but in their actions, they show themselves to be who they are. And I really enjoyed that.
Anita Shreve's new novel is The Stars Are Fire. It is published by Knopf. Anita, I thank you so much for being with us and sharing with us.
Well, thank you. It was an interesting discussion.
Great pleasure. Thank you. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. You can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.
Try to raise a family, end up the enemy. Over what went down on the plains of Abraham. Acadian driftwood, gypsy tailwind, they call my home the land of snow. Canadian cold front.